I'm Emily Tackett, and this is Just So, a University of Oklahoma podcast about thought leaders in the heartland. We're having conversations with some of the brightest minds who are dreaming big, working hard, and paving the way to a brighter future. Making healthy food options accessible to everyone, despite their economic status, is an issue in Oklahoma and all over the world. What do we do when supermarkets don't settle down in communities that need them most? The future of food intersects with architecture and urban planning, with solutions that range from something as simple as a community garden to towering skyscraper farms in the middle of downtowns.
How, too, can we begin to sort of imagine food not just as nutrition, but also as economic development, as social benefit, as really part of a public policy web, perhaps you might think of it that way.
Today on the show, Professor Bryce Lowry from the College of Architecture will talk about how communities can rethink city planning and architecture with access to food in mind. Can you explain, for those of us who don't know, and I'm not even exactly quite sure, what food insecurity is?
Sure, of course. So in general, food insecurity is a state in which people, families, children are unable to access, obtain, and utilize healthy sources of food, food that allows them to achieve a certain quality of life, to be happy, to be healthy, to be vibrant. And in general, it's been seen for the most part in largely global contexts as looking at issues of hunger, malnutrition, poor diet. But we're seeing, too, that even in westernized countries like the United States, we have a number of families who just from various reasons, mostly economic, are unable to get the kinds of foods that they need to be healthy. And so we find a lot in the United States of people eating food from fast food restaurants a lot, when there could be healthier alternatives out there, either made at home or things that you could buy that could be potentially healthier. And that's really where I situate most of my work here in the United States.
I live on 23rd Street in Oklahoma City, and I used to live closer to downtown, and there was like a little food market right next door where it had organic meats and literally farm-raised stuff from Oklahoma. And now it's just McDonald's and Tucker's and Taco Bell all the way to my drive home. And it's a lot more tempting to eat junk food where I live now.
It's cheaper too in some cases, which is also part of the problem, right? It can be a hamburger and french fries can cost you less than $5. And to make a meal for a family can be substantially more expensive. And so that's part of what we also think about in the world of food security.
What did you learn from your research on food insecurity in Oklahoma?
Well, as folks in Oklahoma probably know, we have some health issues here. Our rates of diabetes and obesity tend to be above national averages. And so you tend to find a lot of folks who I think are relying on unhealthy forms of food to get their nutrition. My work largely, so I've traveled in the last 2 years to every grocery store in the state to inventory the availability of fresh produce. And so we find, and this is typical in places in the United States, that low-income, non-white communities tend to have a less robust selection of food that's healthy and fresh, and that's not abnormal. But what we also find is, particularly in tribal communities, African-American communities, and Latino communities, we also have rates of obesity that are somewhat staggering in some cases. And so our need to potentially intervene in what might be a more market-based system where we allow grocery stores to settle in where they can make a profit, we might actually need to be thinking of strategies that might help to sort of fill in gaps where we can't get a traditional grocery store to go. And so you begin to think about things like farmers markets, people growing their own fruits and vegetables, potentially systems where people could trade things for food in some cases, or get some of these other larger grocers to do better home delivery into specific neighborhoods. And so we're thinking about those kinds of strategies as well to try and fix some of these problems.
You do urban development, and this is an interesting crossover with nutritional needs. How'd you get into that?
My background is largely in landscape architecture and planning, but I spent 10 years of my life working in public health in Los Angeles County. And so I've always had a very solid interest in sort of thinking about how do we begin to bring issues of physical and spatial planning, so where we put things, what kinds of things we place there, into alignment with public health concerns. And so when I was working in Los Angeles, we would hear many times from people about how difficult it was, particularly if you have small children or work a couple jobs, to get from your house to where the food or to where the services are. And so you begin to very clearly see that this has not just to do with food, but it also has to do with transportation, economics, where we plan agricultural uses on the landscape, where we also plan things like commercial development. How do we incentivize someone like Walmart or another larger grocer to go into places where they might not traditionally want to go because there might not be a market there? And is that the smart thing to do, to build an entire building versus maybe bring in farmers markets or something that might be temporary but could at least supply people with the kinds of stuff they need? And so you begin to think about these sort of larger issues, which is what really interests me and I think brings planning and public health together.
How do you incentivize big companies like Walmart to go into neighborhoods where they don't see a market for themselves?
Yeah, it's not unlike what we do with Amazon, right? It's the sort of same kind of thing. Some places are able to, through tax incentives or through programs like the MAPS project in downtown Oklahoma City, they're able to use these public taxations to attract, in some cases, certain types of businesses. And you could imagine that same model being used for grocery stores. It is a little bit different, though, because there is a need in the grocery store market to manage not only the sale of the goods, but also the logistics of bringing food to Oklahoma. As you probably know, we don't grow a lot of our own produce here. And so I would also like to see a system in which we also start to maybe greenhouse or grow food here so that it's also local, which I think tags on nicely to some of these movements we see going on in the world around local goods, local foods, stuff that, you know, and in a weird way is more sustainable, right? Because it's using water locally, it's using nutrients locally. It could produce jobs, obviously, for people who want to get into some of these agricultural worlds that aren't traditional agriculture, but something different. And then something I don't talk a lot about, but we could begin to imagine, Oklahoma has more cattle than people. And so we could also begin to see a much more vibrant use of local livestock in our food system rather than shipping it out to other places. How too can we begin to sort of imagine food not just as nutrition but also as economic development, as social benefit, as really part of a public policy web, perhaps you might think of it that way.
I never knew that we had more cattle than people. Why don't we, are we consuming local cattle or are we shipping it off?
I think we probably do consume a lot of local cattle, but you know, things we don't have here are chickens. And so we bring a lot of chickens in from out of state. Pork as well is not grown here. And so thinking, I think about diversifying the food portfolio of Oklahoma might not be a bad idea. I mean, I think the cattle is obviously an entrenched industry here and I don't want to send them away, but it would be nice to have other forms of protein, particularly animal protein, that might be nearby. And then thinking about how we can continue to make the cattle industry here more robust and more sustainable, I think is also a good thing for us to think about.
What else happens to a community when they don't have that access?
The lack of healthy food can really exacerbate problems for them. We find kids who don't eat enough nutritious food have a hard time keeping up in school. And I can only think back to my childhood, but I know that when I was little, when you were on a reduced lunch program, you got a different colored lunch ticket than everyone else. That can be hugely detrimental to a small child who doesn't really understand that one lunch is cheaper than the other lunch. And so there's a lot I think we can do in terms of promoting food as a public right, rather than thinking about it as something that you have to be able to always purchase.
What are people doing to help remove these barriers?
So I think there's a number of things happening, and I think Oklahoma is in one point situated in a really good place to be moving forward, but there's also, I think, what I would call political challenges here, because it hasn't necessarily, I think, younger generations see the value of this sort of diversification of our diet, of our food system. But in some cases, it's a challenge, and unfortunately, in places like this, it also requires a certain degree of state intervention, right? And we tend to be a place that likes to be a little more libertarian, think about ourselves as being very independent and rugged. We're the West, right? And so I think there are challenges, I think, on that level, looking at how do we begin to change people's perceptions about how we subsidize and fund food. The United States has done a very good job funding and paying for food that isn't consumed by people. So Grain for cattle is highly subsidized. Corn syrups are highly subsidized in the United States. We don't yet have that same system for the food that we eat every day. And so that's why I think it is part of the challenge. I do see, though, in Tulsa and Oklahoma City in particular, so if you're an urban resident in Oklahoma, your options have broadened immensely, even in just the 5 years that I've been here. And I see folks in both of those places who are really pushing to start to greenhouse food, to start to push to grow our own, to do community gardening, to think about what are some of the other fruits and vegetables that will do well here despite the climate. And I think at some point we will start to see a lot more interesting local food. It just might take some time. But I do agree that right now we are very limited. The clay soil here is a problem in many places. The weather, I mean, if it gets too hot overnight, suddenly fruit and vegetables can quickly just be destroyed. And so we have challenges that are unique. But I think between Oklahoma State University, OU, and a number of other smaller places, University of Tulsa, we have quite a few people now that I'm meeting as I've been working here who are starting to think about these issues and wonder if we might at some point have, you know, skyscrapers in downtown Oklahoma City that are actually for food production, right? Where we would be beginning to put different kinds of food on different levels. Perhaps community members would have access to these places so that they could go in. It might also be something that we just have a sort of a workforce development that of people who then learn how to help us grow food across the state and then spread it out and then create economic benefit for us as well as social and nutritional benefits.
That makes me so hopeful. Thinking of a skyscraper. Is that going to happen?
There's been talk. There is a gentleman who has been talking about this for many years in terms of skyscrapers in cities. And the fact of the matter is that real estate values have gone up so much in many cities that it's hard to imagine buying large tracts of land for agriculture. And so you begin to think that if we were to tower and build up in certain spots, we could actually do that kind of thing. And, you know, given the concerns we have now in the United States about bee pollination and the bee population declining, climate change, flooding and droughts, these kinds of things make me believe that there might be a time that we're going to actually have to grow a lot of food inside because it might not be possible in the environment that we have outdoors. And that's sort of sad, but I think that the science that we have at our fingertips will allow us hopefully to figure out new and innovative ways to make sure everyone can have enough safe and nutritious food.
What are you doing and what is the community doing to help this problem in OKC?
Of course. I mean, so things that I'm really focused on right now, first of all, we are offering our first ever food systems planning class here at the University of Oklahoma. This will be its second offering this coming spring. I teach it in regional and city planning. It's in collaboration with the School of Public Health. And so it really blends together the things that I've been talking about today. So I could see in another couple years, we'll have a couple generations of students from regional and city planning and public health who will be very much focused on this topic and I think helping Oklahoma to move forward. I think our ability to step back and think about creative solutions to engage the young people of Oklahoma in figuring this out, I think it's just going to be it's a great opportunity for us and I hope we don't squander it.
Thanks for joining us today. Just So is produced by me, Emily Tackett, and Drew Bernard. Artwork by Amy Azure. If you like our podcast, tell a friend about us and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. We'll see you next time.